or I have to question is having three martinis too much? Well, if you ask the question, that means it's probably too much.
Welcome everyone to Yes, I'm Still Sober with John Rabin, episode 20. I gotta be honest, I feel like I've done more of those. Not that I'm tired of it, it feels like it's always been this way. I've always been doing this. It's a little bit different today. I decided to, my roommate is here, but I've, she's aware that I'm recording this, and So I'm kind of self-conscious, so I don't, because I don't want to disturb her with my bullshit, but she's using headphones and doing her own thing, so everything should be fine. But if I start, I already feel myself kind of holding back from talking loud, because I'm self-conscious about saying dumb shit. Which is weird because I say dumb shit all the time. Why should this be any different just because people are around? They know. Hope you're having a good day. I know a lot of people are in a mood because of election day and all that. It's almost just like, it's fucking over. Tired of all the ads. Tired of people telling me to vote even though I already voted already. Like, that's... It's like, what's the joy in early voting if people are going to keep telling you to vote? It's irritating. But good for you. Way to do whatever it is that makes you feel good. I wanted to start with this thing that at no point was did I have any intention of mentioning this, but a friend of mine who's one of the few people I actually follow on Facebook that I read had posted a few invites in a row. It's like three waves of invites to this thing called Initiative Q, and which is like this startup company that's trying to become the new payment exchange company. I'll read it in a second, but because I had messaged her after, like, I saw the third post, and I said, are you gonna be done with your chain letter currency soon? Because you send something and it's invites, and if people want to be invited, they let you know, and then you get fake money for signing up early, and you know, that way they have your name and email address, and they build their own database. And they feel good because they've got all these people interested in their fake currency exchange. And yeah, it's like Bitcoin, but it's not Bitcoin. Here's the website, which is Initiative Q. And I gave her shit about it, which I thought was way funnier than she did. But she said, well, at least you have something to talk about on your podcast. And I went, yeah. No, maybe I do. So I'm gonna mention about it. It's so let's. He goes to get millions. Q is tomorrow's payment network. I'm reading from their website. To get millions to join, we are giving away our future currency. Estimated future value of next spot $25,321 is, you know, their estimated USD per Q. Q is the name of the currencies. Okay, so here's their creating the global currency in seven steps. Step number one, today's payment systems, credit cards, cash, wire transfers, are old and outdated, which means we're bearing unnecessary costs. It's like, additionally, the current payment networks were designed decades ago, and their usage causes insufficient processing, fraud, and rigidity, all of which translates to higher costs. All right, let me just stop right there. I've seen like promos of this where it's like, oh, you know, credit card system. I mean, it was designed in 1950. I mean, how good can it be? Look, just because something's old doesn't mean it's shitty. I mean, credit cards are shitty, but I mean, isn't that the idea? I mean, aren't you planning on, I mean, what are these, what's this guy's end game, the Initiative Q people? They're not a nonprofit. They're gonna have a percentage if, you know, they're gonna try to make money too, and it's just also they're acting like credit card companies still use that big machine that, you know, that people plonk down on the desk and go chunk, you know, with paper. They act like technology isn't being used right now. You know, that you know, it's like that we're all walking around with wads of cash because we don't know how banks work and, you know, debit cards, and, you know, that we don't have Apple Pay and Google Pay and things with our phones where we can just swipe over something. They act like that doesn't exist. They're like, no, but we've got technology, you know, we've got new technology coming out that we can, you know, that's their number two point is there are many advanced payment technologies and innovations waiting to be deployed. Yeah, then why not use it in the system that's already here? Why not get into the advanced payment technology and innovation company and sell that to credit card companies? Why you got to start your own currency and payment plan? They're like, oh, we're going to start this universal system that we believe all countries with all their different currencies are going to jump on board. And I call bullshit on that because there's no way you're going to get everybody on board. You're not even going to get half the people on board. And I'll tell you why. Because they want to call their currency the letter Q. And people are not going to do it. I don't care how good your idea is. If your thing is stupid sounding, people aren't going to say it. It's like, oh, how many Qs do you have? I have 10,000 Qs this month. I've saved it. Like, it's, do you know how dumb that sounds? It sounds stupid. Nobody's going to get it. No, I swear to God, it doesn't matter how good this idea is. If you call your currency Q, fucking it's dying. Like, it's not going to do shit. I guarantee you. Anyway, so if someone built a modern payment system that implemented those technologies and somehow got buyers and sellers to adopt it, this system would quickly become popular. Yes, yes, that's true. If you design something that somehow you got everybody on board, it would be popular. That's what getting everybody on board means. That's what the word popular means. It means lots of people like it. Wow. Way to sell me on that. Fucking morons. It doesn't cost you anything. You can sign up, give them your email, give them your name, and they'll give you free Q, everybody. Go out and get that currency you can't use. It's all like arbitrary anyway. We don't have to call these dollars. We can replace dollars with Cumberbatches because we all like Benedict Cumberbatch so much, and doesn't matter. It's, you know, if you can get everybody on board, yeah. But good luck getting everybody on board on anything. Anyway, I hope my friend enjoys that. Because you practically dared me to talk about it. So I just ranted about something. Yeah, and you guys can go to the website. It's initiativeq.com and see what I mean and go, huh. This is weird. Yeah. Tech bros love it. I bet they do. I bet they're really into that shit. All right. So, you might be listening just to get away from the whole politics thing, and the election. And I'm not going to talk about it, except for a couple of amendments that I wanted to talk about because they're fucking interesting. Because it's Florida. Florida is weird, as we all know. They passed, because I had to point this out, this is fucking crazy. They passed an amendment in Florida that banned offshore drilling. It's good. and also vaping indoors in the workplace. On the same amendment, one amendment, offshore drilling, and also vaping. That's fucking weird. Vague has no idea about the environment or science or anything. They're just like, well, you know, offshore drilling's bad for the environment, and vaping's probably bad. Air quality, maybe. Just put them together. I don't want to write another one. Paperwork. I got to go golf. So they did. They put both of those on the same fucking thing. And, you know, and part of me, because if you haven't heard my album yet, album is still available on iTunes and Amazon and Google Play. But if you've heard my album, you know that I finally come out as a person who vapes, and which has been good for me, by the way, because I smoked for 24 years, so I haven't had a cigarette since January 2nd. So this is so it's definitely effective. So part of me is really, you know, how dare you? You know, it's not cigarette smoke. It's vapor that evaporates and dissolves. It's just there's no science behind it. They don't have any proof. There's an occasional small study, but they don't have anything. And it's very reminiscent, you know, and they're, you know, but there's possibilities. And it's a very reminiscent of the secondhand smoke people. Because while secondhand smoke is harmful, they really outdid it. Like, they really ramped it up. Like Stanhope said on one of his albums that it, you know, if it was as secondhand smoke was as bad as people were saying it was, that there should be killing fields full of dead waitresses and bartenders who have died from secondhand smoke. And there are not. But that's neither here nor there. The vaping thing, I just, you know, I like it because I can do it indoors and it really doesn't matter. I'm just going to not do it in view of people, but you can't tell. You can tell if somebody smokes a joint or smokes, you know, a cigarette, anything, lights anything on fire, you can tell immediately, but vaping, you really can't. Unless people are blowing huge billows of smoke and it smells like apricot or some awful shit. But the bigger part of me is for this because it was specifically vaping in the workplace. And man, even though this is helping me, you know, I breathe better and I've got more money and I'm not smoking cigarettes anymore. It's got to be, this is an amendment passed because people were annoying. They were visually annoying, and there's nothing more visibly annoying than somebody with a brick in their hand inhaling and just exhaling this big cloud of ridiculously smelling, sweet-smelling stuff. By the way, my flavor is called Cowboy Killer. It's trying to, you know, when they ask me, you know, what kind of flavor are you thinking about? Cigarette flavor. You can see the difference between people who are smoking like, ooh, look at this cloud versus me. I'm just like fucking puffing on this thing. Like, please give me something. Like, just like I need it to survive. It's a little bit different. However, so, you know, good job, Florida, with your weird-ass amendment. However, they also, the important thing with Florida's amendments is they passed Amendment 4, which allows every convicted felon that did their time and completed probation and parole, they can now vote. They don't have to wait years and years and then apply and then get seen by a committee of assholes who never approved them to allow them to vote, they now all can vote. And that's fucking great. And I bring this up because I am, as I may have mentioned, a convicted felon. Even though I, you know, you can call it felony light. You know, it's three DUIs. But, I mean, on paper, treated the same as every other felon. And if that kind of bothers you, if you're bothered by the idea that convicted felons can vote, because there are, you're probably not listening to me, but I know people, you know, and I have family members, I know exactly what they think, which is that it's like, well, you know, they fucked up. That's it. You don't get to. You screwed up. Yeah, because you're so perfect. You need to understand the key there is the key to that is that they've completed probation. And you have no idea how hard probation really is. It's not easy. Especially when you're rebuilding your life. Like if you didn't ruin your life, like if you get on probation, but you're all like, you still got your good job and your good life and everything. And then it's a pain in the ass. It's an appointment you have to go to once a month. And you're like, these pricks, you know, and you just keep going. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is you trying to establish and rebuild your life and start over at the same time having to jump through hoops that are on fire, known as the probation system, with all these weird rules and stipulations. And it sucks. For the hardest my probation was at the very end. They had to extend it for 6 months. I was on probation for 6 months longer because I was doing the right thing and I was doing everything that I could to establish my life, and I just could not pay them. And the fact that I couldn't pay them 1 month on time through everything basically added 6 more months to my sentence because they were quote unquote helping me. Instead of allowing me to make up for that payment the next month or anything, they were, quote, helping me. But also because of that, I had to take more drug tests. Like that, they didn't say that, but if I showed you the frequency of the drug tests that I had to take, you know, it's, and I get it because their probation officers are lied to all the time. So they just always assume everybody is lying. And you probably should. And also, I'll go even further. You should never tell the probation officers the full truth. The biggest mistake I did, the biggest problem with going to rehab was having to tell probation that I went to rehab, because as soon as I told them I had to go to rehab, because they had no fucking clue. I did heroin for 3 years while on felony probation. You know how crazy that is? And I did it because I was paying them every month and lying and pretending I was, you know, fine. And because I'm this white dude who has a job and is paying them, they just let me go all the time, never tested me. They drug tested me once a year. And it was one of those things that my probation officer kind of hinted and let me know. He let me know that I was probably going to be drug tested the next month. Like, he gave me the foresight on that. But as soon as they found out that I went to rehab, and then I told them, like, then they clamped down. And the thing about that was, is that at that point, I was being truthful for the rest of the time. And telling the truth to Travis County is just to, I don't know. You don't want to tell the government the truth. I think that's, that sounds fucked up, but it's absolutely true. Don't tell them the truth. You don't have to lie to them, but don't give them information. You answer their questions, but don't volunteer information. It's just going to make things harder for you. That's what I've learned. For the whole thing. So, yeah. So I guess what I'm saying is I'm really, really glad that felons in Florida can vote. And I know why people oppose it. They oppose it because convicted felons, once they're rehabilitated, don't tend to vote conservative. Makes sense. But, yeah, so that's really all I wanted to talk to you about today, guys, today. There's one last thing, and I'll be leaving you with this, is the, I had talked to my friend Kiki Maroon, who has the Clown Interrupted podcast about sobriety, her sobriety, and interviews people about their sobriety. And I had sent her a blog that I wrote 4 years ago, and called It Gets Better, heavy on the quotations there. And she liked it so much, she wanted me to record it, me reading it, so that she could put it on her podcast. And I did. And I thought that since I already did it, I've already got it, got the audio for it, I would share it with you guys. And it's something I wrote when I was blogging on a regular basis, like my first year out. First year, it's like a year and a half out of being incarcerated. So I was blogging a lot, you know, 2013, 2014. People were still reading blogs then. And this one was something I had written for myself, and that, and it was actually pretty popular, that people really liked it. So I thought I would share this. I was going to end the podcast today with that, and I'm going to share it. It's about 8 minutes. And if that's not something that that's something that does not interest you, then by all means, cut this off, like you probably have already in the past. Cut me off. But we're going to end with that. And I will see you guys next week. Have a good week, man. Just hang in there, and you know, take this to heart. If you're feeling really bummed, take this blog reading into heart, because it's I don't know, it's how I feel. Maybe it'll help you. All right, see you guys. This is from my blog at ninthcircleofheck.com, dated Monday, July 28th, 2014, at 2:23 in the morning. It's called It Gets Better, in heavy quotations. Sometimes Facebook is a good thing. By being on the damn thing, it allows people I know, who I normally don't talk to on my phone, to be able to contact me. Although I would normally say that's a deterrent for using social networking. Interacting with others. Gross. Recently, a friend messaged me because they were having a crisis. It was a bad situation, and they were at the edge of complete despair. They needed to be talked down from that edge, and I did the best I could, which was apparently enough. They're doing better, and they thank me for listening and talking them through it. Why did they contact me? I'll be the first one to tell you I am not a great resource for solid advice. I'm a prime example of how not to do many things, so yeah. If you want to know the worst way to handle something, I suppose you could ask, "Hey, John, what would you do?" And then do the opposite. "Hey, Raven, I'm having this horrible dispute with a finance company. They may ruin my credit if I don't comply." "Well, fuck them, man. What do you really need credit for, huh? Expensive possessions that will make you a slave? It's a burden. Don't play their stupid credit game. It's all made up anyway. Go out and live." "Ah, set up a payment plan. Gotcha." No, my friend contacted me because they were at maybe the lowest point in their life, or at least it felt that way, and they knew I had been there. I know what it's like to be devoid of hope and ready to just submit to the abyss. They didn't want encouragement or a pep talk. They wanted someone who could relate and who wouldn't bullshit them. I don't believe in fate, but I like to entertain the notion that I've made it to this point in my life to help others in just this way. I find it comforting to think that my purpose is to occasionally help someone up who needs it. This may be a bunch of crap, but hey, everyone is entitled to their own delusion. Besides, whether I help someone because of a mystical destiny or just because I owe the universe for over a decade of hedonism, the end result is the same. I'm stubborn and hard to kill. Might as well put that to good use. I don't bullshit somebody in pain. I may not be able to recollect much of the past 10 or 15 years, but I remember what rock bottom feels like, and I remember what I did not want to hear. There's nothing like positive affirmations from the misguided to really send you into a rage when you're down. Forced optimism is more depressing than actual depression. Hang in there! As much as I love ridiculous pictures of cats, if you show me one of those with a kitten hanging on for dear life and those three words on it, it tends to make me reconsider my opposition to violence. Smile. If you're an individual who likes to walk by a coworker's cubicle and tell them to smile first thing in the morning, or at any point in the day, I don't think you're aware how close you have come to enduring a stapler bludgeoning. Oh, and guys, you look prettier when you smile? Just go ahead and say, hey, it's harder to sexually harass you when you're all down and stuff. It's kind of a buzzkill, asshats. I think the worst one to hear is the most common one people say. It gets better. Hearing this sucks because it comes from someone who, you think, isn't going through what you are and hasn't been where you are. How would you know? Don't blow smoke up my ass. And then, when it inevitably does get better, you still feel like telling them, oh, fuck off, you didn't know. I think we just don't like some people to be right because we don't want advice. Don't try to fix me. Just recognize I'm broken. The truth is, it will get better eventually. And then it will get worse at some point. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. But our brains can completely forget this when we're down in a hole. Your fears and thoughts can cripple you and send you into a spiral that you don't think you'll recover for or even survive. And this all sucks because it's in our heads, not real, and we hurt ourselves way more than the actual thing we fear will. We put ourselves through hell based on the perceived possibility of purgatory. 4 years ago, I was a junkie and lost my job, my apartment, and the woman I loved. I was staying on a friend's couch, and I was sure that was it for me. If I had a gun, I would have killed myself. Okay, actually, I would have sold it and bought heroin. But if I had two guns, it was bad. At the time, I considered it the worst moment of my life. I was wrong, because it got better. But then, 6 months later, I overdosed while living at my father's house after being sober for a month. Dad happened to come home from work and save my life. When I woke up in the emergency room, I had a brand new rock bottom. Incidentally, the only real rock bottom is death. Things can always get worse. Things improved. Because of that, I went to rehab, started over in a new city. I made good decisions and poor decisions. Life went on. Due to getting arrested for public intoxication in 2012 while still on felony DWI probation, I had to come back to Austin and go to jail. While in county lockup, I was told I would have to do a 5-month alcohol and drug treatment program and remain incarcerated, and that I wasn't going back to my established life in San Antonio. I had lost everything again. And being sober in jail allowed me to really feel this low moment, making it way worse than when I was strung out all the time. About a month later, while still in the custody of Travis County, I had a high point. I had begun to rebuild my thought process without being heavily medicated by booze or drugs, and I was reading Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, laughing hysterically. Even though I was in the middle of an awful place with questionable people and dressed in reject nurse's scrubs, I was happy at that moment. Another moment was being able to host the open mic again at the Velveeta Room a couple of weeks ago. It was a very everything-in-its-right-place moment for me. In fact, I had a brief feeling of euphoria every time I skate to or from work. The highlight of my day is usually when I'm on a skateboard. And that is how it will go for whatever amount of time I have left. I'm going to enjoy those ups and fight through those downs. A low point is coming, and I can't stop that. While I do wish sometimes I had an option against... I had an option again to escape feeling shitty, I am completely comfortable with feeling now. That's the problem with heavy alcohol and drug consumption / abuse, and for some, with prescriptions you know you don't need. You stay even keel and numb so you can avoid pain and sadness, and you also avoid pleasure and happiness. It took me a long time to figure that out. Everyone is different, so I don't want to tell you what you need. For me, being able to enjoy those beautiful moments in my life fully is worth the ordeal of completely feeling those times of despair. I just have to remember to keep fighting when everything just sucks. I think I just wrote a big, long positive affirmation that would probably make me roll my eyes if it came from someone else. I don't know if anyone will get something from this or not. I probably would have been fine with instead posting the lyrics to R.E.M.'s Everybody Hurts. Truthfully, the main reason I wrote this tonight was for me to read in the future when life takes a turn. So, John, when you read this, take it from someone you'll listen to. You, dummy. It gets better. Hang in there. You don't have to smile, though. Fuck that.